This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Way out on the edge of the solar system, near the Oort cloud, astronomers report they have spotted a dwarf planet, you know, like Pluto. But this small object is so far out, over 7 billion miles, that it takes about 4,000 years for it to orbit the sun. And it's the second one of its kind found out there. Why are astronomers so intrigued? Well, let's ask one. Chad Trujillo is one of the authors of the new paper published this week in Nature that describes this object dubbed 2012 VP113, also affectionately nicknamed Biden. Get it? VP Biden. He's also an astronomer at the Gemini Observatory based out of Hilo, Hawaii. He joins us from the Southern Gemini Observatory in Chile. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Where was this found, actually? The dwarf planet is in the inner Oort cloud. What is the Oort cloud? Give us a progression of what's going on in our solar system.
Okay, well, I guess we can sort of start near home from the sun out to Mars is sort of the rocky planets. And then as you go further out, you have the gas giant planets, Jupiter and Saturn, and then the ice giants, Uranus and Neptune. And then the Kuiper Belt just beyond Neptune. And that's where we kind of always thought the solar system, the nearby solar system ended. But then as you go further out, there's the inner Oort cloud, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about later. And then there's the outer Oort cloud, which is out at 10,000 astronomical units. An astronomical unit is the distance between mm-hmm. Earth and the sun. So it's really, the Oort cloud is really way out there. And we know, we've never observed the Oort cloud, the outer Oort cloud, directly, but we know it's there because the long-period comets, one type of comet, comes in from the Oort cloud from all different directions. Mm-hmm. So that's how we know about the Oort cloud. And then, you know, the inner Oort cloud, which is sort of between the Kuiper Belt and the outer Oort cloud, is where our discovery took place.
And this is the second kind, right? There's the Sedna, which was another one that was discovered before.
Yeah, so I was a co-discoverer of Sedna as well. That was about 10 years ago. And Sedna was really kind of exciting because we didn't really expect to find an object like it out there. We just happened, you know, we're doing a survey looking for things like Pluto in the Kuiper Belt, and then we found Sedna, you know, quite far out, almost 80 astronomical units. And what was really strange was the orbit. The orbit of Sedna has a closest approach to the sun of 76 AU, which is more than twice as far away as Neptune is. And it's the large, at the time, it was the largest or furthest closest approach ever known. And the weird thing about that is that there's nothing, Sedna never gets near anything we know in the solar system. So every other solar system object we know about gets close to, you know, Neptune or, you know, maybe Jupiter for the comets or the Earth for, like, the near-Earth asteroids or something. Like, they're around other stuff. But right. When we found Sedna, the closest it ever got was 76 AU, which is way outside the Kuiper Belt, and it's just not around anything.
And Biden is even further out there.
Yes. 2012 VP113, which we've been nicknaming Biden, is even further. It's perihelion. Closest approach is 80 astronomical units.
And so why are these objects so interesting to astronomers? What's so unusual or unexpected or makes you want to see more of them?
Well, they're interesting because they're a puzzle. We don't really know how they got there. And the reason that is sort of the way space works is things have to get, well, first of all, we know that the objects probably didn't form out there by themselves because it's really hard to make planets or dwarf planets far away from the sun. Things have to be sort of on these quiet circular orbits, you know, closer to the sun to really form planets. So we don't think Sedna or VP113 formed out there. So then the question is, how did they get there? Well, if you look at all the stuff in the solar system, it's all much closer in than Sedna or VP113. So all the answers, since, you know, people have been thinking about this for about a decade since Sedna was formed, all the suggestions that people have had for formation take place very early on in the solar system, you know, when the planets were just forming. And that's really interesting because it gives us a clue about what might have happened very early on in the solar system, because, you know, that's sort of one of the things we want to know. How did the planets form, and sort of how did the solar system form?
So what's your working hypothesis on this, how they got formed, Sedna and Biden?
So Sedna and Biden, you know, we're calling the inner Oort cloud objects, and there's a few hypotheses, but the one I like the most is that the sun was the birth cluster scenario. So, you know, the sun, we think, formed in a star cluster, just like, you know, today we see other star clusters far out, and we see stars being formed in clusters. We don't think the sun is any different. We think it formed in a cluster with a bunch of other stars. And it's possible that way back when, you know, billions of years ago, when the sun was forming, another one of the sun's siblings came close to it and might have actually pulled material out from where the planets are today out into these strange orbits.
Hmm. Could it be that there's another giant planet out there instead of a sun that's pulled stuff out?
That's also a possibility. So that's another one of the formation scenarios that people have considered, is that rogue planets may have been in the solar system, you know, where the planets are today, but ejected out at some point in the past by maybe Jupiter, and they're thrown out by Jupiter, and as they're headed out, they might have carried material with them out into this no man's land where Sedna and Biden are located. So now we don't really know what happened to those rogue planets. It's possible they may have kept going and just left the solar system, or they could have been maybe captured into very long period orbits, so they could actually still be in the solar system today, but we don't see them because maybe they're so far away.
Could there be other dwarf planets out there? You know, are you tracking any others? Are you looking at them?
Well, yeah, we're actively looking for more inner Oort cloud objects, because we think there's more out there. In fact, there's a lot. Now, we don't know exactly how many, because we've only found two, but just from some simple simulations we've run, it's actually very hard to find these objects, because most of them are far out and faint. But there could be as many as 100 billion inner Oort cloud objects larger than 25 kilometers in diameter or radius. So, I mean, there could be a lot of objects out there. And, you know, most of them are small, so they might not add up to that much material. If you maybe took all of the inner Oort cloud objects and smashed them together into a ball, you might wind up with something that was maybe 1/80th of an Earth mass.
Wow.
So not that much mass. But still, that's a lot for the minor planets. If you do the same exercise for the Kuiper belt, you get like 1/100th of an Earth mass. So, you know, what we're talking about is a population that's maybe similar in or greater than the Kuiper belt. And that would actually make it one of the larger sort of dwarf planet populations in the solar system.
And these would be residing in the inner Oort cloud?
Yes, the inner Oort cloud.
The part that's right outside the Kuiper belt. Do we consider Pluto to be in the Kuiper belt?
Yes, we consider Pluto to be a Kuiper belt object, because it's... And its behavior is influenced strongly by Neptune, which is sort of in the Kuiper Belt neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why it was demoted from planet status.
That's right. When Pluto was first found, you know, everybody thought, oh, it's a planet. But then, you know, it took a long time, like 60 or 70 years, to start finding more Kuiper Belt objects. And once we started finding more, we realized, well, Pluto's not really a planet in the traditional sense. It's more of a dwarf planet. And, I mean, the same thing has kind of happened now with Sedna. So we found Sedna 10 years ago, and everybody's like, oh, this is a unique object. But we thought maybe there was more out there. But it took 10 years for us to find Biden. And, you know, then we think we'll probably start finding more faster, actually.
Yeah. When are you going to change its name? Or are you going to keep it as Biden, do you think?
No, we're not allowed to keep this Biden. That was just a nickname, because we were tired of saying 2012 VP 113 like over and over again. So we just started calling it Biden. But we can't keep it. You can't name planets after political figures or anything like that.
But if he resigns? If he resigns a vice presidency, could you keep the name?
No, he will have to be, political figures have to be dead for at least 100 years before they can be considered.
No kidding.
For names.
Is there something named after a dead political figure?
There probably is, because there's all kinds of crazy names, but I don't know of one in particular that stands out. Yeah. So we will name it, but it won't be Biden. The suggestion is that objects like these should be creation deities from some kind of mythology.
And like Sedna?
Yeah, like Sedna is an Inuit goddess of the ocean. And, you know, we sort of like, Scott Shepard and I, who discovered the object, we sort of like the cold idea. So we might go with a kind of a cold mythology. But it's something we have a couple of years to think about, because the orbit has to be known better than it is now for us to qualify for naming. So we'll probably have a couple of years at least to think about it.
Do you have amateur astronomers looking for these too? Or is it that difficult to find?
They're pretty difficult to find. So Sedna so far is the brightest inner Oort cloud object. And we found it with a 1.2 meter diameter telescope. So, you know, about 4 feet across.
Pretty heavy.
So that's pretty big for an amateur. And we looked through the whole sky. So we know there's none that bright. So you would have to be a very serious amateur.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck in your search for the other ones. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Chad Trujillo is one of the authors and the co-discoverer of this new Biden planet, actually 212 VP 113 to be exact, published this week in Nature.